How many of you do puzzles? A few of you. I'm with the majority that doesn't. When I do a puzzle, I don't mind it if the pieces are about the size of Box Butte County and there's like 10 of them, you know, and then I can probably handle those all right. But really doesn't matter the size of the puzzle. If you make progress and then you find out you're missing a few pieces, that's frustrating, isn't it? The thing can never be complete without all the pieces together. The family of God is that way. All the pieces need to be there in order for it to be complete, in order for the body of Christ to accomplish what he left us here to accomplish. Last week, we began talking about the importance of spiritual gifts in this whole process. And as we looked in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we saw that God made it very clear there is not a one of us that was excluded. He gave every single one of us some kind of divinely appointed ability in order to serve him. And he also made it clear that that gift was given for the profit of all, for the common good. And so in that analogy of the human body, if the foot isn't there, if the hand isn't there, if something is not there functioning, the whole body suffers because of it. And so we're looking here for a few weeks at some of the spiritual gifts that we see in Scripture. And I mentioned that I'm going to pretty much reserve this particular passage for our study, the seven gifts that are mentioned here in Romans chapter 12. There are several different places that spiritual gifts are mentioned in the New Testament. But these are especially ministry-oriented, service-oriented. And so this is what we're going to be looking at. And I want to start in Romans chapter 12 with verse 3, and we'll read then through verse 8. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. And we'll stop reading there for right now. Let's pray before we go further. Lord, I pray that you would help us today, that you would guide us, guide my words, help me to bring clarity, not confusion. I pray that the things that we look at would emerge as the importance of applying God's word accurately to our lives. And as every single one who sits in on this over the next few weeks, we'll see that we fit. And help us not to ignore that. And Lord, may we then use what we have been given for the honor and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray this in his name. Amen. So we're going to begin looking at this passage and these individual gifts that are mentioned here. This is kind of putting the pieces of the puzzle and starting to fit them together. And this morning, we're going to start with the gift of prophecy that we see in verse 6. And Your notes, if you're following along, are many. I was very optimistic, thinking I could cover two gifts probably in each service. But yesterday, I realized that's not going to happen. So don't get nervous as the time goes on. I'm not going to cover everything that's in your bulletins or on the app here this morning. We'll be looking at them one at a time, it looks like. So the gift of prophecy, this is one that would probably stand out from the list as something kind of mysterious. We would look at this one as kind of being different than some of those others that we might be more, find it more easy to relate to. But it's not. It's not meant to be mysterious. It has a practical usage for us today, just like it did in the New Testament. So the prophet, first of all, and Paul says there in verse 6, if you have this gift, and as with all the gifts, use it, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith. Now, I'm going to use the same outline each time that we look at one of these gifts in breaking it down and hopefully bringing some clarity to it. And I want to start with a definition of it. What are we talking about when we're talking about the gift of prophecy? You might have an image that has popped into your mind about what this actually might mean. But if you were to do a word study, take a concordance and do a word study into the original languages, the first definition that would come up for you in it is that it's one who proclaims. It's one who declares, one who speaks. This is the primary gift. Now, there's several of these gifts that are speaking-type gifts. The difference will be how our mental approach and just kind of our natural approach to it, depending on the gifting that we have. The prophet is going to be very forceful as they share. But it's one who proclaims. And any time in the scriptures that we see this gift, this is what they were doing. They were proclaiming. Now, there were false prophets too, but the prophets of God were speaking a message that he had given to them. And that's what the prophet, as we're talking about here, does. He proclaims, he or she proclaims, they speak, they declare. Now, as you follow this up, you will also see this definition, one who predicts. And that's probably the first thing that came to our minds when you hear the word prophet, one who tells the future, one who predicts. That's not the first definition of it. In the scriptures, we saw that this predictive part of their ministry. But even when they were telling about things that were yet to come, they were simply speaking the message that God had given to them. It was always about the proclamation. It was always about getting the word of God out to the people, whether it was a large group, whether it was an individual you're speaking to, it was just proclaiming God's word. The predictive part of this is not nearly so important now as it was when this was being written, because now the word of God is complete. It was not yet at that point in time. So they were still, the New Testament had yet to be written. So they didn't have this to fall back on. And so to predict things now is not as important, and I don't think happens near so often as it did in those days. And we are given a strong warning in the book of Revelation: you better not add to the words of this book, and you better not take away from it. So the predictive piece, God is God. He can do whatever he wants. But that's not nearly as important as the proclamation piece. This is what the prophet did. He spoke the word of God. Now, there are groups, and I don't want to get too far off here. There are groups that would claim this yet today, that the prophetic thing, you hear about the word of knowledge and those kinds of things. And maybe God does some of that. I don't know. I shouldn't stand and say he can never do something like that. But the problem that I have, you'll be in a meeting and someone will say, someone might say, I somebody out there is having a problem in their marriage. And that's the predictive word. That's the prophetic word. And those kinds of things seem to come, but the really important things don't seem to be brought to light by the Holy Spirit. And that's a problem. By way of example, not very long ago, there was a mega church down in Dallas that would follow this process. They would use a prophetic word or whatever. But it was just recently revealed that the lead pastor had molested a 12-year-old girl. Now, why didn't the Holy Spirit let them know that? See, this is what I'm talking about. The predictive part of this seems so sketchy. If the Holy Spirit was telling us things like that, he would tell us those important things. Now, he gives us a gift of discernment, too, in this. But this predictiveness, let me just stop. It's just not as important today as it would have been when the scriptures were written. But the proclamation piece, that is what the prophet does. Bottom line, it's the ability to declare the divine will of God. Not because he has given you some special revelation, but because he has shown you something in his word and you are able then to share it with other people or even with another person. That's what the prophet does, declares the divine will of God. It can never contradict what's here in the scriptures. It can never stand against something that God has already said and have it come from him. So the defining the gift, this is one who proclaims. Now, how we see this gift used or describing the gift, I want to take you to a couple of other passages here in the New Testament where we see this gift of prophecy being used. And it was from the idea of encouraging and strengthening people. That's what we read in Acts 15:32. Then Judas and Silas, both being prophets, spoke at length to the believers, encouraging and strengthening their faith. So this was the role of the prophet. They were speaking, and that's what, sometimes at length, to strengthen and encourage the believers there, reinforcing the word of God in their lives, to instill that in them, to help them understand this is what God is saying. This is the word of the Lord. Now, the encouragement part here is not so much the pat on the back saying, oh, you're doing so good, you're going to do good, and all this kind of thing. That's not the way the prophet typically responds. It's more of a challenge. Here's God's word. If you obey it, things are going to go better for you. If you disobey it, things are not going to go good for you. That kind of encouragement and strengthening that we see them doing. We see this again in 1 Corinthians 14 and the same things with the inclusion of comfort. And in 1 Corinthians 14:3, one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. So some of those same kinds of things. The prophet wants to get the word of God out and wants people to respond to it and expects people to respond to it. Bottom line here, the prophet will use their gift expecting God's word to bring results. There is no question in the prophet's mind as they share something that people are going to respond to it because this is God's word and it's very black and white to them, very, very, very clear to them. Now, some of the characteristics of the gift, and I want to just mention a few things. I can't go into too much detail here because I just don't have time. I mentioned last week that when this series is over, we're going to make available some spiritual gifts inventories that will go much, much deeper in helping describe these things as you might see them in their lives. But these are some of the things that we'll see as we look at those in Scripture that had this gift. There is, I would say, at the top of the list, a boldness and a forcefulness. The prophet is kind of an in-your-face type person. Now, it's all got to be conditioned. I'll talk more about that later, but just very direct. Let's not try to hide the message with any kind of flowery words. Let's not try to make it more palatable. Just get it out there. Very bold, very forceful. And we would see that in the Old Testament prophets, so much of them. Many times the message that God gave them to give was not a favorable message. But they had this courage, this to boldness and fearlessly present the word of God to the people. With that, there was a conviction that, you know, this can't be compromised in any way. They would never, ever think to compromise. The prophet tends to be very black and white. The color gray does not exist, which it actually does, and the prophet needs to learn that. There are ways of going about communicating the message, but there's this overwhelming conviction, this resilience, this unwillingness to ever step back, unwillingness to ever say anything that could sound compromising, just a tremendous conviction, this motivation to share. With that comes a bluntness. The prophet is typically as blunt as a spoon, just so direct and without filters sometimes, and that's something that needs to be worked on as well, but very, 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 very blunt in communicating a message. Later, the Apostle Paul would tell the Ephesians, you need to speak the truth in love. And the prophet needs to know that, needs to learn that, needs to develop that ability. Yes, speak the truth, never compromise it, but speak it in love. The prophet has a hard time with that typically. And there is an impatience. And we see this at times in some of the ones in Scripture who had this calling. This is God's word. Why in the world aren't you listening to it? Why aren't you responding to it? This is the way it is. Now do something with it. And the prophet can get very, very frustrated if people aren't just all of a sudden popping up and immediately responding to it. Just there can be a real impatience there. And obviously these are things that need to be worked on. But those are some of the characteristics of the gift of prophecy. And probably more are not seeing themselves with this particular one. But some of you are thinking to yourself, yeah, it's kind of me, all right. And that's the way it ought to be. God will show you this. Now, Paul gives an instruction with this. Again, verse 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, then in proportion to our faith. And I'm not 100% sure what that instruction is supposed to mean, but I'm tying it back to what he said earlier up in verse 4. He said, it's verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So God has equipped us. God has instructed us. He has given us the faith that we need to carry out our responsibility, the faith that we need to trust him to do what he said he would do. We emphasized last week, it's not about results. We're not responsible for results. We're responsible to do what God has called us to do and leave the results to him. Now, I think the prophet may have a hard time with that. Expects people to respond. Expects, you know, if I talk to you about something, that you're going to immediately make a change. And I think this, in proportion to faith, is just do it. Trust me to do what I want to do. You just give the message and let me do with it what I want to do. I will accomplish it. I'm able to do that. And so I think that's what he may be referring to. Just use the faith that God has given to you. Trust him. He'll do it. And for the prophet, it's don't waver. Don't ever compromise. Don't stop because you're not seeing what you want to see. Keep doing, keep following, keep speaking God's truth. You know, we saw this at times with people. I think of Jeremiah. He was at the place, he said, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore, but I can't stop. I can't stop speaking what God had given to me. And this is kind of the message, don't waver. Don't compromise. Don't stop. And I think with it, trust God that if you speak the truth in love, he can still use it. You don't have to slap people in the face. You don't have to stomp on their feet. You don't have to make this try to happen. Trust me. You know, he gave us the Holy Spirit who accomplishes the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and those things. So trust me, just speak the message, learn to speak the truth in love, and let me do with it what I have intended to do all along. So a few instructions there with it. You know, I think I've seen myself in this somewhat anyway, and I know earlier in my career, I felt like it was my job to make people feel beat up when they left. You know, it was my job to equip people with steel-toed boots, you know, or whatever. And I think I'm learning, hopefully. It doesn't have to be that way. I can trust the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do. So, a little bit of instruction there if this is your gift. Now, a couple of examples that we can see, like in Scripture, I think John the Baptist was a true prophet. We see that in his boldness, in his forcefulness, in his lack of filter, if you will. You know, he had popularity, and people were coming to him, and it wasn't long before the people, the Pharisees, started coming out and to see what was going on. And you remember how he responded. It was like, what are you doing here? You know, Pharisees came out, what are you doing here? Oh, you want to talk about baptism? Well, let's see some repentance first, you snakes, you bunch of hypocrites. You know, just kind of very forceful in that way. I think the Apostle Paul, certainly, he would never compromise, never back down. As just some examples of people who might have truly had this gift. Now, over the weeks, I'm going to refer back multiple times to an illustration that I heard a lot of years ago. I don't know who to credit it to. It certainly wasn't original, but I think it's very, very helpful, and it all revolves around you're in some kind of a public setting. Let's say we're having a potluck dinner, and somebody spills their dessert, drops their food, spills their something there. What is your initial response? What is the first thing that comes to your mind? Some of you, this happened already, just even talking about it here. You know, you're in a restaurant and you hear this crash in the kitchen. Do you think, oh, those poor people? Or do you think, what a klutz? You know, tells you a little bit about where your gift is. Okay, so you're in a potluck dinner. That shows you don't have the gift of mercy for sure. But you're in a potluck dinner. Somebody spills their dessert. The prophet's initial response, hopefully they learn not to say it, is that you got to be more careful. That's the way the prophet is going to initially respond. You need to learn to be more careful. So obviously that all needs to be conditioned by the Holy Spirit, and he will as we allow. So the prophet has an important role. He or she will communicate God's truth. He'll get it out there clearly, sometimes too bluntly. Need to learn to speak the truth in love. Sometimes the rest of us might be intimidated by the forcefulness of a prophet. We might get irritated with them. We just need to remember that God enabled them, and they have the courage to say things that we probably don't. And every gift has its place, and we need to grow in our appreciation for them all and see how God has fit us all together. And we're going to continue to fit the pieces of this puzzle together in the weeks to come. Next week we're going to take a special look at mothers, but then we'll hopefully be able to come back and finish this up. So let's pray. Father, there might be a few here today who've said, that's me. Help them to embrace that role that you have given them. Help them to continue to have the courage to speak your truth. Help them to learn to speak the truth in love. That's what this is all about, though, is just applying what we know so that you can get the glory that you deserve. Lord, I don't know how you want to use this particular series, how you might choose to use it, but I just pray that we would listen to you and say yes to you for the glory of Jesus, for the advancement of his kingdom, for the building of the body. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.